In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. So who do you think should take the collection today? You nominate your sister, eh? We don't take nominations in the family. We have to nominate somebody else from outside the family. So who took the collection last Sunday? Anna and Ellie. Okay. So maybe Natalia and an older one to help Natalia count the money. Natalia, you gonna hold this? Maybe with who else? Yabisera? Okay. So Natalia and Yabisera, you'll take the collection today. There were two brothers in a family. And it happened that one of the brothers was better in school. He was doing better in school. And the other brother, who was not doing so well in school, started to give his brother a really hard time. Because he noticed that his brother was better than he was in school. And he started now to be rude to him, to give a hard time to him, not to behave like towards his own brother. I'm telling you this story today. This is a parable, another example of a parable, an invented story. Because not too long ago, we talked about Cain and Abel, the two brothers. And do you remember what they did?
Cain gave the best sheep he could, and
the other one.
Abel gave the best thing he could, and Cain, he just took something in there.
So both of them offered something to God. Abel offered of his best lambs, and Cain offered something, some grain to God.
But not the best.
But not the best, and not with a good heart. And God received whose offering?
Abel's
offering. So Abel had more love. He was better than Cain. And do you know what Cain did? He became very angry, and he killed Abel. Now, what do you think? Why did that brother in my parable, and why did Cain, why did that brother start to behave nastily towards his own brother, and why did Cain kill Abel? But why did he kill Abel?
Because he got angry at God because he just took Abel.
Why did he get angry?
He was jealous. And because
when do we become jealous? When somebody has something better than we have, and we think that that's not possible. There can't be somebody better than me around me. I have to be the best one. There is no other way. Do you know how we call that?
Yes.
Arrogance. Or pride. I'm the best one. And I can't accept the fact that there could be somebody better than me around me. Like that Pharisee in today's gospel reading. Did you pay attention? This gospel reading, two men, one was a Pharisee and the other one was a tax collector. Both of them went where to pray?
To the temple.
And one of them was how? Puffed up. very arrogant. Oh, I'm so good. There is nobody better than me. He was bragging, you know, he was bragging himself even in front of God.
Well, and even God is better than him, and he's telling God because he's better than God.
Of course. And he was even comparing himself to this tax collector, this publican. I'm better than him. Now, can you see, when we are arrogant, what happens in our life? What happened in the life of Cain when he was arrogant and proud? What happened? Did he have a beautiful, joyful life?
No, he had a terrible, miserable life.
His life became terrible and miserable. You know, he became very sad, first of all, within himself. How do we feel, you know, when we are arrogant? Do we feel good? And what happens in our life because of our arrogance, when it happens that we are arrogant? What happens? What happened in the life of Cain? What did he do? And what did he do? What did Cain do? He killed his brother. That's what happens when we are arrogant. We kill the people around us with our arrogance. We kill the relationships around us with our arrogance. Do you like to be around an arrogant person?
No.
Around somebody who's puffed up and he or she thinks that he or she is the best. I'm the best. There is nobody like me. Do you feel good around such a person?
Or some people say just me and some other people are best, and then the others are not so good.
I know, sometimes, you know, entire nations believe that they are the best nation in the world. There is nobody like them. That's again arrogance. And then the rest of the world starts to hate that nation little by little. When they say that there is nobody like us, we are the best. Yes, sometimes, you know, we have some groups of people, you know, in a school, you know, we have some group of students that think that, oh, they are the best in that school, and, you know, they don't want to talk to anybody else. So that's what happens when we are arrogant. We kill relationships around us. Now, how could we have life and the fullness of life and have good relationships with the people around us? Do you know what's the opposite of arrogance? Loving, and more specifically, what's the opposite of arrogance? How was the tax collector?
Humble.
Humility is the opposite of arrogance. When somebody knows that, you know, I'm not the best. I'm probably, you know, I know who I am. I know my sins, and I know, by far, I'm not the best. St. Paul said that he was the first among sinners. That's why, before we partake Holy Communion, we say in that prayer, I'm the first among sinners. Because if we think about it, are we perfect?
No.
Is anybody perfect?
No.
So it is very good, you know, it is very important to know that I'm not perfect. The people around me might not be perfect. So we are called to love each other and to help each other, not to become angry when somebody around us is better than us. So what? Glory to God. I have a friend or I have somebody around me who's better than me.
Maybe they teach me.
Exactly. Maybe he or she could teach me what I don't know, so that I could get better instead of becoming all tense and like Cain, you know, and trying to kill the other. No, you can't be better than me. When somebody is better than us, let us give thanks and glory to God and try to learn from that person. Let us be humble, admit that we are, that person is better than we are, and try to learn from that person. And by doing that, we'll have life, we'll have a beautiful relationship with that person, and we'll grow, we'll become better ourselves. So let us be, what's the word?
Humble.
Humble. Let us know who we are. Let us know that we are not the best in the world. That there are better people around us. Let us try to see the goodness in the people around us and to learn from them.
Everybody's good at something.
Exactly. Everybody's good at something. We might be good at something. Maybe not the best, but good at something, but not so good at something else.
And you could ask that person to teach you something if he's better than you, and you would say, do you want to be my friend and do you want to teach me some stuff, you know?
But you know, that requires humility. To accept the fact that, you know, she's better than I am. So could you please teach me what you know, because I don't know what you know. And by doing that, by being humble, we grow. We learn from the people around us. So let's be humble so that we will have a beautiful, joyful life and beautiful relationships with the people around us. Amen. Thank you very much. Christ is among us.
He is among us.
Yes, beloved faithful. Arrogance produces brokenness within us, because arrogance makes us feel disconnected within us. Arrogance produces brokenness in our relationship with God, in the relationships with the people around us, and even in the relationship with the creation of God that's around us. So many times, you know, because we are so proud and arrogant, we destroy the creation of God around us. I think that's one of the causes of this ecological crisis that we're experiencing. Because we think that we know best. And we can even play around with specific species of fish, of plants. We know what to plant, where to plant, what animals are supposed to live where, what fish are supposed to live where, and then we get ourselves in trouble. I remember, you know, I think even here in North America we have a huge problem with carp, with the Chinese carp, because they wanted to clean the lakes, and they imported, you know, some Chinese carp, you know, to clean the lakes. We know what we are doing. We get ourselves in trouble. We have to be humble and to understand that there is only so much we know. Humility creates beautiful, loving relationships between us, the creation of God around us, and the people around us, and even within us. So many times, you know, people get into arguments because, you know, husbands and wives, are arguing for hours because none of them has the humility to say, honey, I'm sorry, it was my fault. We spend hours and hours trying to prove the other one wrong. Just because of our arrogance. And because we don't want to admit that it was my fault. Or at least to see the part of our fault, because it is always the fault of both of us. It's not only my fault or your fault. It is always both of us are at fault. And if one of us has the strength and the humility and the love to say, you know what, I was really wrong about this, that's the first step towards bringing peace and love back into that relationship. And also in our relationship with God, we need humility. We cannot get into a deep, profound relationship with the one who humbled himself and took the form of a servant so that he brought the whole universe into union and communion with God the Father. Humility produces
communion. Arrogance produces division and brokenness. In humility, our Lord Jesus Christ unified everything that he created with God the Father. If he said, I'm God Almighty, I cannot become a human being, I cannot part, I'm the Creator, I cannot become part of the creation, we wouldn't have been saved. But he didn't say that. He humbled himself, and he became like us. Therefore, now, in preparation of Great Lent, in preparation of this period of time when God is calling us to come back into communion with the people around us, with the church, with him, and to become whole and complete within us, to be healed of our brokenness, the church reveals to us this beautiful parable about humility. Because only in humility we could reconnect within us with the world around us and with God. Only in humility families function. Only in humility churches function, because so many times, you know, even in the life of the church, because of arrogance, communities are broken. Because of arrogance, the church of the East and the church of the West became separated. That was most of what it was about, arrogance, from both sides. Yes, Jim, we have to admit it. We have to admit it. We had our own arrogance, and we have to repent. We have to repent of that. Only in humility, families, churches, institutions can function in a harmonious way. Therefore, let us humble ourselves and let us be like the Lord, and as St. Paul invites us to be in a beautiful passage from the letter to Philippians, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And if we know to humble ourselves, God will exalt us as he exalted his Son, who so much humbled himself. Because St. Paul says in the following verses, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.